Recording started.
Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we like to begin our time together by setting the intention to just let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you. The better, say it to me, the Lord that you choose. Lord, I pray that these words be unchanged. Will you bring joy and happiness among us?
Always the invitation is just to be. I always like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy day to take time to deepen down, to connect with the ground of being, the source of all that is, as we join hearts and minds across the airwaves. I believe in always looking for the deeper meaning behind stories, myths, situations, because always we're living on multi-levels. It's never just one thing. And as we continue to look at the deeper level of the Christmas story, today I want to look at one particular character who really doesn't get much of a shout out due to his role, and that is the role of Herod. See, the quote I sent out yesterday was about, let's not think about Christmas about just opening our presents, but opening our hearts. And here was an individual whose heart was closed. It was hardened. It was bitter. And so I'm going to kick off with our story and just talk a bit about Herod, and then I'll divulge and deepen down into what I want to get into about him. So he was known as Herod the Great. He was known for his cruelty, and he was believed to have engineered the death of a Hasmonean prince who threatened his hold on power, and he had at least one of his wives and her mother executed, fearing the schemes of his own sons who were conniving to usurp him and his claim to the throne. He had them executed as well. Caesar Augusta, who was no stranger to murder and intrigue himself, said, I would rather be Herod's dog than his son. Herod was a schemer who took advantage of the Roman political unrest to claw his way to the top. And during the civil war in the empire, Herod won the favor of Octavian, who later became the Roman emperor Augustus Caesar. And once he was king, Herod launched an ambitious building program both in Jerusalem and the spectacular port city of Caesarea, and named it after the emperor. He restored the magnificent Jerusalem temple, which was later destroyed by the Romans following a rebellion in AD 70. But within him, there was two powers that were struggling for mastery, and the lower one at last gained complete control. During the first part of his reign, there was evidence of large-heartedness, of great possibility in the man. But the bitter experiences of his life, the endless whisperings and warnings of his court, the irreconcilable spirit of the Jews, as well as the consciousness of his own wrongdoing, changed him into a Jewish Nero, a tyrant who bathed his own house and his own people in blood. The demons of Herod's life were jealousy of power and suspicion, its necessary companion. So we know in the Gospel of Matthew that the wise men met Herod on their way to find Jesus and worship him, and he tried to trick them into revealing the child's location in Bethlehem on their way home, but they were warned in a dream to avoid him, and so they came back by a different route. And Joseph also was warned in a dream to take Mary and the newborn child and flee to Egypt to escape Herod. And when Herod would learn that he had been outwitted, he was so furious, he ordered the slaughter of all the little boys under the age of 2 in Bethlehem and its near vicinity. You see, I want to talk to you about Herod because I think there are times when each of us has a Herod in us, where each of us has that nature that is so concerned with what we want, is so concerned with our ego. As it said, he wrestled with two powers, but the lower one, the base one, got the best of him. And as such, he allowed his egotistical, animalistic nature to take control. It didn't matter whether it was his wife or his son. He was letting nothing stand in the way. And so when he heard that there was a newborn king that was being brought into the world, obviously he got worried and concerned. And nothing more was in his mind uppermost than to get rid of this new usurper to his throne. And I think that this is sometimes us. Our base nature, our low nature, so gets the best of us that we want to dim or diminish or completely drive out the Christ spirit, the Christ light within us. It is said that what he did was to kill all the little ones under 2. And that's what we do when we allow our animalistic, our egoistic nature to get the better of us. We drive out all those thoughts and ideas that would bring us back to our Christ life, our Christ nature, our Christ truth, the Spirit of God within us. He started off with good intentions, but instead, in allowing that side of his nature to be cultivated, he allowed the grosser part of his nature, the side that was interested in greed, in power, in domination, in wanting his own way. If we reflect on sometimes who we are and how our nature and character is developing, and if we're honest with ourselves, we can see the times when we have allowed our Herod nature to dominate us, where we have only thought about our own needs, our own selfish wants and desires over that of others. Beloved, I am not here to criticize or judge anyone, but I am here to offer up an alternative way of looking and seeing and being in this world. I don't believe in just treating the Christmas story as an event that happened several thousand years ago. I'm interested in its relevance in today's life and living. And I believe that as we look at our Herod, that side of us, our side of our nature that arises from time to time, that dominates, that is cruel, that is power hungry, that is killing off any new ideas, anything that we are trying to birth new, then, as we look at that, we can seek to heal it. Our sacred text is from Romans 12:2, and it simply says, and it's one of my favorites, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect." When we are so focused and so allowing the race consciousness, the world consciousness to dominate us, our Herod nature is ruling. And so when this text is suggesting to not allow those appearances of the world, those needs and ideas that the world says we must have, when we can move beyond that by changing our mind, changing our perspective, changing our attitude, changing our belief, we will get to see what is good and see what is the will of God for our lives. And the will of God for our lives is always that which is good. And so we have to be continuously transforming our thinking, our way of being, our way of showing up, our way of doing. We have to be doing it on a daily basis. I keep saying that the spiritual path is not for the faint-hearted, because we are required to die daily to that side of us, thou little human egoic nature that is leading us on the wrong path. We are required daily to die to the level of thinking and belief that has held us down in fear and limitation. The spiritual path is not for the faint-hearted, because we can no longer continue in the ways that we have been and no longer continue doing the things that we used to do. Our teacher said that when you know the truth will set you free. We can no longer pander to what we think our ego needs, to our Herod nature, but seek to see what is the Christ light revealing to us in everything and anything that we are confronting. My beloved, be not conformed to the way of the world and the way it thinks, but be transformed by changing your opinion in your mind and recognizing the Christ light that is within each of every one of us. It is not in some, and I know that there are those that when they are seeing someone particularly evil or they are judging them, they think that they are devoid of the Christ. It is impossible. No one, no matter how bad, how awful, how evil they may be, or their actions are, the Christ is still within them. It's simply that they have allowed their Herod nature to dominate. There are times when our Christ flees and is in exile. Just as how Joseph had to flee into exile to escape the wrath of Herod, sometimes our Christ feels like it's in exile. But at any time when our consciousness is ready, we can call our Christ out of exile. We can kill off our Herod nature and allow the Christ to come back in. The research showed that Herod went on to die a very cruel and painful death. And while some would say that was just karma, it is a recognition that we cannot sow into the world of consciousness that which is evil, that which is harsh, that which is dominating and cruel, and not reap the consequences of it. My sacred poem is by someone known simply as Iris202. And they write, "Selfishness is everywhere, hiding in the dark, eating away at our souls without a visible mark. If I could change one thing, selfishness would be it. Without it, life would get better, slowly but surely, bit by bit. It is time to help each other, with altruism as the key. We must forget the needs of the few and embrace the needs of the many. Help comes when called and aid is always there. We must ignore all self-interest and encourage love and care. A world without selfishness, agendas and egos, standing strong through the highs and the lows. If I could change one thing, selfishness would be it. Without it, life would get better, slowly, surely, bit by bit." The Dalai Lama says that foolish, selfish people are always thinking of themselves, and the result is always negative. Wise persons think of others, helping them as much as they can, and the result is happiness. Love and compassion are beneficial both for you and others. Through your kindness to others, your mind and heart will open to peace. You see, Herod did not have such a nature. how it was concerned continuously with his own wants and needs and desires for power and to rule. And it didn't matter what he did or what he had to do to achieve it. There are times when we allow Herod to dominate our nature, where we allow our Herodias self to come to the fore, as opposed to allowing the Christ self to come to the fore. This Christmas time isn't just about giving presents, getting together with family, overindulging, overeating. This Christmas time, like any time, is an invitation to deepen down, to open the gift of the heart and allow the Christ light, the Christ presence, the Christ peace to radiate through you and out into this world that is so in need. Most of the major religions are celebrating the entry of light into the world through their own traditions. Ours is the Christ light. And whether we are wanting to look at Hanukkah, celebrating the light in the temple, or whether we're looking from Yuletide or the celebration of the solstice, it matters not. But there is, as all of these traditions are inviting us to recognize the light coming in through the darkness. My Science's Mind reading is entitled Deep Calls Unto Deep. And it's actually written, or it's from Ernest Holmes, so there's only one quote. And that is from William James, who says, "We inhabit an invisible spiritual environment from which help comes. Our soul being mysteriously one with a larger soul whose instruments we are." And from The Words That Heal Today, 1949, Ernest writes, "When we become pure in heart, we become perfect in spiritual vision. It is then that the intellect falls back to the original purity of the divine pattern. When we find this pattern in ourselves, we shall see it in others. We reach God in others by reaching out from God within the self. Always the God in others will respond to the God in us, but never beyond the level of our inward spiritual awareness. As this level rises higher and higher in our consciousness and conduct, we find the same level in others. Deep must call unto deep, and deep responds to deep. The pure alone can behold the pure. The pure in heart alone see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. God is peace. We enter this peace in such degree as we withdraw from confusion. But not to ourselves alone does this peace belong. The peace of God is universal, all-inclusive, all-embracing. This does not mean that everything should be reduced to sameness. Unity does not mean uniformity. Life has set the stamp of individuality upon everything, from a blade of grass to a person. There is unity at the center, variety at the surface. These variations are separate and distinct without being separated or isolated. Variety feeds on the unity in which it is rooted and expands through a consciousness of being one with the whole. And see, my beloveds, we are here to expand in consciousness and remember and recognize and realign our oneness with the whole. Herod had separated himself from this recognition, this realization. And as opposed to aligning himself with the oneness, with that which is unifying and unity in all of us, he saw the dualistic nature, as if God was somewhere else, even if he gave lip service to it by building temples and buildings. He did not build the temple in his heart. He did not deepen and speak to the deep that was within him. He was so driven by his own animalistic and egotistical nature he's forgotten his God self, his higher self, his Christ self. Christ is not the surname of Jesus. It is the recognition of his divine nature to which he spoke that we too are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We too have the Christ Spirit within us. And so, my beloved, as we go within, I invite you to deepen down and allow deep to speak unto deep. If you haven't already closed your eyes, close your eyes and bring your attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation, exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always, I like to remind you of the words of Job. He said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. Let us be conscious and aware that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. As you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in. And as you breathe out, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. In. Out. In. Now as you breathe in, say, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out slower. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in deeper. My breath as I breathe out. Deeper. Slower. Deeper. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath, I breathe in. As you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in healing. This is my breath as I breathe out forgiveness. Healing. Healing. forgiveness. Now as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in Christ. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out heard. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in Christ. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out heaven. Christ. In the cave, the heart, and the sanctuary. Just take a moment to be intentional. As we deepen into consciousness, aware that we are connected to the ground of being, the source of all that is. That what we are choosing to see in our mind's eye will materialize as we co-create with the intelligence that is everywhere present. So take a moment to see for yourself what you want for your week ahead. See yourself being, doing, having, experiencing that which you wish. Always add the feeling component to it. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. Always you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time, for we know that God's center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. We live and move and have our being, the divine intelligence, the divine omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, that is spirit. That is God.
that is life.
Divine Beloved, source of all that is, ground of beings, we consciously come into communion with you at this time, seeking to allow our Christ Self to shine its light in and through us, in and through our interactions, in and through everything that we do. We ask that our Christ Self increases as our Herodias Self decreases. We do not allow our Herod nature to dominate and rule. Instead, let our Christ Spirit guide and direct us in everything we do. Divine Beloved, ground of being, source of all that is, at this holy and sacred time as we celebrate the light coming into the world, let it come into the hearts and minds of all men, that we will stop seeing division and separation, but see unity and diversity, and see brotherhood and sisterhood throughout all. That we can recognize that we are one kind, humankind, and that it's not about self-interest, but interest of all. That we seek not just only our needs, but the needs of others. That we allow our true Christ nature to express the love and compassion that is at the ground of being. O Divine Beloved, ground of being, source of all that is. As we consciously rest in your presence, and just allowing our Herod nature to decrease, and our true self, our higher self, our Christ self to increase. We are so grateful. We're holding in our hearts everything that is happening across this world of ours. And we start right here in this country. May there be a healing for all the division and separation that has existed. May we come together to truly grow, to truly expand and evolve into a more harmonious and united kingdom. And as we grow and evolve, may we too set the light and set the example to share across the world. For everything that is happening, which is too overwhelming at times to name, we surrender it all to you. And know that you know what to do and how to do it. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. And so it is. Amen. Take a deep breath in. As we do our movement prayer this morning, stretch your hands towards the sky, wrinkle your fingers and affirm, I open myself to life all around me. Cross your hands over your heart, palms down, and affirm, I am one with love and all that love is. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words of health and wholeness. Drop your hands to your sides, palms down, and affirm, I give thanks for all good things flowing to me. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release and let go. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phone lines for our daily affirmation and Buddhist meditations. I'll try one more time. Oh, I apologize, it's not unmuting. But affirm for yourself right where you are. Our first is our affirmation from our science mind reading. In this moment, the divine pattern is finding greater than ever expression through me. A Buddhist meditation. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I'm at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe, contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Now, prayer of intention. I am the light of God, within and without, radiating brightly. I am the love of God, within and without, expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God, within and without, manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God, within and without, eternal and unceasingly. My beloveds, as we're drawing towards the end of our Sunday soul connection, just to remind you, we'll be meeting on Thursday for our midweek prayer, our 10 at 10. And my rumination for you, my Rumi quote, simply says, savor your sorrowful heart. Be gentle and sweet. Think of it as a cloud nourishing the garden with its rain. Welcome your sorrow, for it may hold the secret to unforeseen wisdom. And even if it doesn't, you'll learn to smile in the face of adversity. My benediction, may your heart hear the songs of angels, and may the star of Bethlehem shine on the gift you bring, the Christ child. Christmas blessings to you and yours. So the song that I've chosen to close with today is entitled Someday at Christmas by Stevie Wonder and Andra Day. I so chose it because I feel that when we diminish our hermit nature, the words of these songs will ring true. Enjoy.
December, I should see a world where men are free.
Beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy week. Next Sunday will be our Christmas service, so please invite family and friends to join us and have a beautiful and blessed week. Peace and blessings.